time to start trying to get this right. It has to start now doing it. We either get serious, seek God, get in His will, perfect the works of the kingdom of God, or we will leave this world with our works unfulfilled. And we started making plain, according to Scripture, the things that we must do to self-correct with the Word of God. In other words, we must perfect our personal work and commitments toward God. And if you go back and if you read Galatians 5, and it's, you start at the 13th to the 21st verse, you'll get a great deal of what you need to be changing in your life right now, in your thought patterns, and helping other people change. See, it's not just all for you. It's for you to help others also. So go back to Galatians 5 and read 13 through 21 again and begin to practice. Put it to practice. Don't get the wrong idea about the Word. You know, when I give the Word to the church, we all can give a word of knowledge when we live in the Spirit. See, don't try to start judging me, because I'm going to speak what the Holy Spirit tell me to speak and what God put in my heart to speak. And if you look, none of it is of a personal nature from me. It's all from God. It's coming from His Word, not from me. You know, I can't judge you. And I can only judge myself. Whatever I speak to you, I'm doing it also. I can only do what He tell me to do. Just like Jesus said, I can only do what the Father say do.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man, the teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. May we bless the Word of God. You may be seated in His presence. Even me, Lord, even me, You have chosen, even me. Let Your wisdom, revelation, all to see, You can. use them, for you have chosen even me. Has the Lord chosen you to use you?
Yes, Lord.
Come on, say it with me. Even me, Lord. Even me. You have chosen. Even me.
Even me.
Let your wisdom and revelation. Let your revelation.
Revelation.
Shine. Shine forth. All to see.
All to see.
You can use them. You can use them. For you have chosen.
For
you have chosen. Even. Give God a hand of praise. Because I don't care who you are. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he has chosen you.
Yes.
Somebody will say, thank you, Lord, for choosing me.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he didn't have to choose you.
Yeah, yeah.
We were works undone, wretches undone. We were not worthy to be chosen by God. But his love chose us. Look beyond our faults. And he meets our needs.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord.
Yes,
with all thine heart. Now I want us to know, my brothers and sisters, as we again talk about matters of the heart this month, not only physically should we get our hearts checked and make sure that our hearts are fine, and if not, that we do what is necessary to make sure that we ensue and pursue having a healthy heart. But spiritually, we also must check our hearts and make sure that our hearts are right with God. Too many times, my brothers and sisters, we are fooled by that same very heart that we claim to love God with. Listen, you can't wholly love God with a half of a heart. God requires all of your heart. He requires all of your love. The Shema, which is the Jewish prayer confession that was begun at every Jewish worship service, held from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And in that verse or verses, they say that the Lord is the only one Lord. And they say, we must love the Lord with all our hearts and with all of our soul and with all of our might. And God wants all of us who claim we belong to him. So if we've given him our hearts as unto salvation, to save us and to make us right, that we might live in the image of Christ, that we might be representatives of him, that we might walk, talk, and live in such a way that men see the reality of us mirroring Christ, following Christ, mimicking Christ, all of that must be accountable to our heartstring. In other words, you can't say you believe in God and you trust God and you operate in God with a half-heartedness. It has to be a total relinquishing of our hearts to him. But when the word says trust in the Lord with all our hearts, then that means we give up right to trying to figure it out ourselves and just trust God for the answer. When it says, and lean not to our own understanding, it means we give up the right to try and do it our way, but rather we surrender and submit to God's way. When he says, and not do it our way, breaking it down just a little further, it literally means that we don't look for how we want our will to be done, but rather how we submit and acquiesce to the will of God. In other words, we begin to recognize that the word says, even before you get to this point, that was the book of Psalm. And Solomon's daddy said, listen, the steps, Psalm 37:23, of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him. And listen to what David says when he gets to the 25th verse. I have been young. You see, you know, when you're young, you think you know it all. You think you can do it all. You think that life won't end for you. You think that you're like that energizing bunny. You just got energy to burn and go and do it all. But just keep on waking up in the morning and going to bed at night. And you'll discover that life happens and it catches up with us and it slows us down. And we have to walk in wisdom now, because we don't have the foolish energy we had to burn and act like we have all the energy in the world yet remaining. And so we now know how to do things a lot differently, more efficiently, more effectively, because our hearts are filled with wisdom now, and not our minds just filled with our ability to accomplish our own wills. So he says, listen, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, because it's in all thine heart that we relinquish to God, that God fills himself up in our hearts. God tells us how our hearts should operate, what should be in our hearts and what should not be in our hearts. God makes clear to us through his word what should fill every crevice of our hearts concerning him. In other words, he wants to be able to place in our hearts the very essence of him. And God can't deal in an unclean heart. God can't live in an unclean heart. Matter of fact, God don't want to have anything to do with an unclean heart. So that's why he wants all of your heart, because listen, whoever has all of your heart has the reality of your life in their hands. He's already told us in Jeremiah 17 that the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. Who can know it? And God says, I, the Lord, knoweth the heart. And I even try the reins of your mind. I know what you're thinking before you think it. I know where you're trying to go before you even get there. I know what you're thinking about in church while you ought to be listening to this word. He knows all there is. The old folks used to say, he sits high, but he looks down low. And so we need to know that God knows our heart. You can't fool him. Our hearts might deceive us, but it can never deceive him. Our hearts can make us think we feel one way, but without the corresponding actions connected with it, we're not fooling anybody but ourselves. If you love, connected with that loving is a giving, a sharing, a releasing. For God so loved the world. What did he do? That he gave. What did he give? His only begotten son. His best. His only. His all. He gave to us. Why? Because he loved us. Because he loved us. And he wants us to love him with all his heart. See, when you love him with all your heart, you give him everything in your heart and everything else in your hand. That's when you really love. Now, don't y'all sit here. I know some of y'all are old and you done forgot about love and how you used to feel and all that, and how giddy you used to be when a call would come in or somebody mentioned a name. You get all tickled for nothing and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's all fine and good. But see, what we don't understand is that Eros love, that's love between a man and a woman, is not nearly as strong as that agape love, the love between God the Creator and his creation, mankind. And so there is no other love, no greater love than the agape love. And may I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you don't have the agape love in your heart, if you don't have the agape love in your life, if you don't have the agape love out of which you operate, every other love falls short of being what it's supposed to be. The reason why we can't have good relationships many times is because the agape love, which is that first love that God has, God's love, the God kind of love that we should have in our heart first, is the love that leads us, guides us, directs us, speaks to our heart, tells us what's right, tells us what's wrong. And because we've submitted our hearts to him, we listen, we hear, we obey. See, God keeps us from making foolish mistakes when we trust in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
How many of you know God will tell you what's right and what's wrong? How many of you know God will tell you if this person is the right person to be in your life? How many of you all know God will tell you if this is the right kind of person to be your friend? Because darkness and light don't have no fellowship together. Right and wrong don't have no business being together. And so that bothers me when good folk are hanging with bad folk and say, well, it don't bother me, I'm not going to do what they do. Well, don't you know, soon enough, association brings on assimilation. Somebody's going to change somebody. And so sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we've got to learn, if we are unequally yoked, there's always going to be a battle going on. Right versus wrong. Good versus evil. And so without the love of God in our hearts and trusting God with our whole heart, there is no way we can make the right decision. Our hearts can fool us, deceive us. How many of you thought, let me just throw this out because I just want to be, as the young folks say, 100 with you. I want to be real with you. How many of you in puppy love thought that the puppy love would grow up to be full-grown dog love? Now y'all go to acting all holier than thou. First love, first kiss, all of that. That's the love of my life. There ain't nobody else, man. You know. I heard a song many, many years ago, and it says, it's a thin line. Anybody know any of that besides me? I ain't the only one that used to listen to that. It's a thin line between love and hate. And the person you were so in love with, your heart skipped a beat. And now, let's just put it this way. The love ain't there no more. Think about what you did, what you gave up, what you offered, what you shared, because you were in love with the wrong person that you cannot take back because we didn't trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Can I tell you, we've got to get out of the external, judging men from the outside, and look upon the heart like God does. Because if the heart ain't right, the spirit ain't right. If the spirit is not right, the whole person is not right. And see, you can judge by the spirit whether or not people have aligned themselves with the word. And if their spirit is not right, their heart is not going to be right. And so as a result of that, they lean to their own understanding. Why? Because they don't hear from God. They don't get their direction from God. God is not speaking to a half-hearted person. If you aren't worthy enough or think God worthy enough to give him your whole heart, then half a heart just won't do. It just won't do. You can't be one day with God and the next day with the devil. Or worse than that, you can't split up your day. This time I'm walking with God. Later today I'm going to be walking with the devil. No, you're either for him or against him. But there's no two ways about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means every decision you make, I'm trusting God to give me leadership, give me insight, give me wisdom, show me the way, tell me what I need to do, enlighten me. I'm trusting God to make it clear to me in what direction I should go. Not use my own mind and my own thoughts and my own ideas and then say, Lord, bless him. Because God don't bless what? Mess. And it don't seem like mess to my mind because my mind is all messed up. Lord, y'all so quiet because I'm thinking somebody ain't got right with God here today. And so the reality is, if we are messed up, we think messed up thoughts. And if we're messed up and we think messed up thoughts, then when we look at other folk, we think they're messed up. And then we act like we're messed up. We treat others like they're messed up. And we're just in a messed up situation because we're leaning to our own understanding. But he says, in all thy ways, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All. And in all thy ways, acknowledge him. So that means you don't just wait till the problems get big and then you acknowledge God. Because I got news for you. If you acknowledge him when the problems are small, God will fix them for you so that they don't get large. But if they do happen to get large, that God that was with you when they were small will be the God who will deliver you from them when they're large. God will not forsake you. He will not leave you. If you stick with God, how many of you know God will stick with you? Stay with the Lord. The Lord will stay with you. And listen at this. And he, not me, not any other person, shall direct your paths. He. Do you know why so many of us miss the blessings of the Lord upon our lives and we take the wrong paths? It's because if we backed up, we didn't acknowledge him in all our ways. If we back up into the scripture further, we did things our own way, with our own mind, with our own thoughts, with our own thinking. And if we backed up even further to the beginning of that verse, we did not trust in the Lord with all our hearts. When you don't trust in the Lord with all your heart, God is not under obligation to direct your path. God is not under obligation to give you a warning of the road up ahead because you're on the wrong road in the first place. But when you walk with the Lord, listen at this, God will be, listen, a lamp unto your feet.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean? That means every step you make, God will illuminate, lighten up your path so you can see where you're stepping, so you don't make a mistake and step in a hole or fall in a ditch, because you can see what's in front of you. And then he shall be a light unto your path. That means he not only lets you see your feet and see where you're walking here, but he lets you look up and see a little further down the road. And down the road, he'll show you some things that's coming. So when he tells you to turn, you turn right or left. Or if he tells you to stop, you stop and wait. Or if he tells you to speed up, you speed up. Or if he tells you to slow down, slow down. Why? Because he knows what's up ahead. How many times have you been going one way and the Spirit of the Lord directed you another way? And you're like, I don't know why I'm going this way, but I'm turning on and going on, because you're used to listening to the Lord. You're used to hearing his voice. How many times have you started to do something and the Spirit of the Lord said, no, no, don't do that. And you're like, well, I'm going to be careful, Lord. No, it ain't about you being careful, because sometimes it can be about other folk not being careful. But if he tell you don't do it, if he tell you don't go, if he tell you don't say it, if he tell you whatever he's telling you, he's doing it for your good. And if you trust him, you might not know it right now, but sooner or later, the revelation of why he said what he said will be revealed. How many times you had a feeling about something, couldn't put your finger on it, but you talked to the Lord and the Lord told you something about it, and though he may not have revealed it all right then, sooner or later when he reveals it, he said, now this was the reason why. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Stop it. Why? Because your understanding is limited. It's finite. It has its ability to only see and know what it has already comprehended. It doesn't know the future. It doesn't know the whole counsel of God. It doesn't know the activity and the ambitions of the enemy and how he tries to use you against you. But when you trust God, in business, God will direct you. In career choices, he will direct you. In friendships and relationships, he will direct you. And let me tell you something. Anybody who says they love you and want you to do what God says don't do, don't love you. Anybody rushing you and forcing you before God says yes or before God says no, you have to let them go. You have to let it go. You have to say, listen, if you're that much in a hurry, go ahead on. I'll see you up the road. Because what you need to know is the enemy, as you belong to the Lord, cannot make you make decisions that you don't agree to make. In other words, he might put a thought in your mind, but you've got to make the decision to do them. And when you do that, excuse me, He then is able to bring forth the forces of hell and bring you to, that was a saying, and I've shared it with you before. Sin will cost you more